RadioInfluence.com.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Dark Delay Podcast with
Hump Day, Val, and
Beans. It is Wednesday. I forgot to say Wednesday edition.
It does. It's been weird the last couple of weeks because I feel like it's some kind of a mutant Christmas vacation that we're all on. And Monday felt like Wednesday. Today felt like kind of a Wednesday, or like maybe an eighth or a ninth day of the week that we never knew about before. And
it's March 97th.
Exactly. That's how I usually count February, actually. I combine it with January. I say, oh, well, it's January 45th. Yeah. And we're here today.
Goodness. So the craziness continues, Frank.
It
keeps going.
At the same time. Yeah, 48 hours didn't do the trick.
No.
We're still moseying along.
I got a bunch of stuff to go over with you today, and some of it is a lot of it is interesting. So let's start off. I don't know if you saw the thread by Technofog.
Which one is this?
The one about the woman who gave her husband fish cleaner.
Yep. Oh, well, listen, this is just the icing on the cake, because this woman, and now that we know that she's like severely mentally disturbed, violent, a Democrat donor and all that stuff, I didn't even need all of that stuff. The willingness for the media to harp in on this woman and her husband, whether or not, maybe she even killed him at this point. I don't know. But to harp on these two people who, even if they didn't have the background that we're starting to find out that they have, with the mental illness, or at least she does, for them to harp in on this of them swallowing fishbowl cleaner and blaming it on the president is just an act of desperation. And for everybody to coalesce around that accusation, it was even more stinky. So it doesn't surprise me that 2 weeks later, it is what it is.
So a lot of people might not know what you're talking about. So it was, and I agree with everything you just said. So Technofog, who is a brilliant follow on Twitter, @techno_fog, wrote a thread. He says, new, court records show the wife who fed her husband fish cleaner, poison, has a history of mental illness, paranoia, depression, and had considered divorcing her husband as far back as 2012. There is a civil case where she is giving a deposition, and he found it because it's there. It's out there for people. These cases are available online. So the wife had significant health issues, Technofog says. She testified she had, quote, adrenal gland failure, and steroids and heart medicine are keeping me functioning. While this shows that she and maybe even her husband were at high risk for COVID-19, her familiarity with medication doesn't exactly fit the profile of someone who would mix fish cleaner with soda. So they ask her medicine regimen, and she answers, when I wake up in the morning, I have to take steroids, which are hydrocortisone and Florinef, and a heart regulating pill to up my blood pressure called Mitodrine. And that takes several hours to kick in and work. You can't take it at night because then you can't sleep. So you have to take it in the morning. So there's somebody who knows quite a bit about, in one paragraph, medicine, right?
Yeah. Well, and here's the other thing that anybody who's on medication for any kind of a chronic condition also knows. If you're on one medication, let alone several, you know that if you want to start taking a daily vitamin,
you have to ask.
You have to ask your doctor. If you want to start taking more of anything, you want to suck on a zinc lozenge, you got to ask a physician first, just to make sure it doesn't go in conflict with anything. So she goes to PetSmart and just starts downing cleaner. Come on,
doesn't make sense. So the next thing, she certainly wasn't shy to seek input from doctors. Transcripts in this civil case show she sought out an occupational health doctor and wanted his advice, not common, by the way. I trusted him and wanted his advice on how to handle the situation medically, so I was turned down numerous times for this appointment she was looking for. And then the attorney asked, sir, well, this is important. Take your time. This is your document. Why don't you read it and let me know? And they go through and she's talking a little bit. And then she says, I had requested to be seen. Nobody ever does this, she says. I had requested to be seen by occupational health doctors during this whole rigmarole. It's like nobody ever wants to go to occupational health because they think they're going to get, you know, this is going to go bad for me or whatever. I requested it. This is obviously a lawsuit where she's trying to get money for some kind of issue or whatever. Next is as to the mental health struggles, a history of depression, anxiety, anger, alcohol abuse, which she denies. The question to her is, I want some clarification on some forms that were filled out early when you went to see Dr. Redacted. It looks like he checked you in for depression, anxiety, anger, alcohol abuse. And then there's a notation I can't read. Abuse victim. Does that sound right? No. I'm not a drinker, she says. I mean, I'll drink. Well, now I can't drink at all, but I'm not a drinker and I've never been abused. And she, and then it says, unless you consider blank abuse, which she references the company that she's been working for. Maybe that's what he meant. So I don't know. I'd like to drink. I think I need one now. Now, this next one threw me for a loop, Frank. This is crazy. I'm on 3 sleeping pills at night so that I don't have nightmares and so I can sleep.
Oh, yeah. I saw Valium and Ambien.
And melatonin.
I mean, the Ambien alone is, it's like dropping a nuclear bomb, or at least it used to be. I don't know if it's been made a little bit less, that's something that people would be a last resort.
Just go online and Google Ambien sleep stories. The stories of what people have done on Ambien are hysterical, not having any idea what they're doing. So the lawyer goes, did I hear you correctly? You take 3 sleeping pills? She goes, yeah, all at once at night to avoid having nightmares, did you say, or just to get sleep? She says, no, I can fall asleep. I can't stay asleep. And I do have nightmares unless I'm medicated every night and sometimes even then. But they just tell me to increase my meds.
Yeah, I saw another part of this where she says if she wakes up in the middle of the night and she can't go back to sleep, then she's been authorized just to take more Valium.
I mean,
so this is – who is that crazy drunk woman who accused Donald Trump of molesting her in a dressing room?
Oh, the crazy author? Or
Yeah,
I don't remember the name.
It's just you can add this woman to the conga line of craziness that the media has jumped completely in bed with to be able to have any kind of momentum.
Yeah. So do you want to keep going? Because it gets better.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
After her car got towed at work, I literally had a breakdown in front of the whole cafeteria, an actual physical mental breakdown. And then she says, did you tell your the lawyer says, did you tell your doctor in 2012 you wanted a divorce? She goes, probably. I'm furious all the time. Even, I mean, I can be so medicated that I can't even eat. So when I'm not sad, I'm just mad. And then finally, we're broke because of my medical situation. So the question is, had your husband planned to retire if this EEOC matter had been settled? Was he planning on retiring soon? I believe that he would have. We're broke because of my medical situation. So, and then he makes a good point. Listen to the audio interview. What do you hear? What don't you hear? For someone who is mentally disturbed, frantic, you know, all the things that she said she was in her deposition, she is ridiculously calm about the death of her husband when she's asked about it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It seems to me she might have killed him on purpose. I'm just going to say it.
Oh, that's what I thought the whole time. That's what I thought.
Poor
and
guy.
Yeah, I mean, this is a because she seems pretty sociopathic. And then on top of it, she probably has a really, really hard time staying grounded in reality. She's drifting between so many different realities and many of them are drug induced. So it's seriously, this woman's lost. And I thought that, you know, even at the very bare minimum of this story, if we didn't have all this background, I said, okay, well, we're dealing with at least baseline stupidity. For anybody to hear something on the television and then go and think without even consulting anybody, like a doctor would say, you know, yes, you know, we can get you the generic, or you can go to PetSmart and you can pick up some fishbowl cleaner and you can dilute that. Like a doctor would actually ever say that. Like there might have been some kind of a distinction between the two substances. So it was either baseline stupidity or something much more twisted. And that's what this is twisted.
Yeah, not only that, but like you were saying earlier, She was a prolific donor to the Democrat Party. How? How? I thought she had no money.
Probably selling some of her, selling some of the contents of her medicine cabinet.
Their first names are Gary and Wanda. Wanda has donated thousands of dollars to Clinton, the DNC, Emily's List, etc.
She's just doing what she can to help the cause. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah.
This was a stunning thread, though. I really thought it was something else. Very, very good. Then I was able to, I've been talking to a lot of friends, Frank, because they're all saying the same thing. And I had a bunch of friends who were sick in December, early December. And one of them went and found his text messages that he had had with his wife at the time. So he sent them to me and we blacked out like some identifying information and stuff. And then he allowed me to tweet them because they were marked. They're time dated December 10th. He's telling her basically the stuff that's coming out of my nose is absolutely absurd. I can't even explain it. It's odd and not normal. If it continues with this cough beyond tomorrow, then I may hit up the doctor in person. And then he explains what it looks like. Not something I want to subject all of you to. The next set of texts were from when he was physically at the doctor. Thursday, December 12th. He waited 2 days, 7 o'clock at night. On the nebulizer right now, took chest x-rays. A lot of weird contagious pneumonia going around. I'll keep you posted. And then he says, she mentioned potentially another antibiotic, an inhaler. She said it's been starting viral and turning into pneumonia. Sound familiar?
Yep.
And then she says, they talk a little bit more. And then the test x-ray comes back and he says, I have pneumonia. And he did. He had pneumonia for about, he had this for about 3 weeks, I would say.
Tell you, my friend Frank, back in November, late November or so, Christmas season, he had a really nasty respiratory, what he thought was just a nagging cold, stuck around for about 4 or 5 weeks. And, you know, found a way to work through it.
I know.
I'm sure many people did. I mean, first of all, it's the holidays and you don't want to, everybody is the biggest goal these days for any average person in this country is to survive December without having to incur so much debt. You spend the next year paying it all off just to reach December again and get yourself in Christmas debt again.
Yeah. Which is so stupid when you think about it.
Yeah. Yeah, no,
it really is.
Yeah. If I don't have money to buy people stuff, I write them cards. I send them
Polaroids.
So, yeah. Yeah. No, seriously. Get creative. Just don't destroy yourself. But this is the kind of pressure we're in. On top of normal everyday, you got to put food on the table kind of pressure. So I can't imagine how many people worked through this and lived through this because it's definitely been here since November.
I'm telling you, I even got, do you remember I was sick in November? Do you remember? Cause like that one podcast just didn't work out with the tech issues, but the whole podcast was like me, like barely able to keep it together.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I was so sick.
Yeah.
I mean, mine, I think, was just like a respiratory, like they said I had a sinus infection, but I did telehealth. So I didn't go anywhere. I didn't go in and get tested or go in and see a doctor. I just did the doctor visit from the internet and they gave me antibiotics, a Z-Pak, azithromycin, you know, that medicine that everybody thinks is going to kill everyone that we've been taking anyway.
Yeah, it's Zithromax, right?
Yes. Yes.
You used to give out those Z-Packs all the time.
Yeah, when I was a kid. That was the only, that is really one of the only antibiotics that has ever really done anything for me. Yeah, I don't like taking medicine ever for anything.
And it's strong. Isn't it? Because I used to work at a pharmacy for years. And I remember those Z-Packs only had like 4 or 5 pills in it.
Yeah, it was great. You take 2 the first day and then you take 1 for the next 4 days.
Yeah.
It's a pack. They call it a Z-Pack instead of like one of those bottles that has like, finish all of this medicine for the next 6 weeks.
Yes.
You know? Anyway, so I really am, you know, I really will be excited. I will be interested to see what these antibody tests start looking like when people are going to get tested to see if they've had this. How many people literally have had this and just have gotten through it? The comments underneath this thread are, you know, pretty extensive. There's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them. of people saying, yeah, that's crazy. Me too. It's almost ratioed by comments of people saying the same thing.
See, that's the thing that I asked Dr. Cottrell the other night about all this stuff is the timeline. The timeline of this all happening, because, you know, we're talking about, well, New York might see its peak in by April.
Pass
well,
that shit.
That's what I'm saying. New York, all these places might see their peak in late April. But I'm saying there is no way in hell this hasn't been here since 2019, since there is completely unabated travel between China and New York, or China and U.S. from November, December, January, February, you know, 4 months of unabated travel. And we know that this thing started popping up and it was all over the place in China by November. So, I mean, and not only that, they pretty much colonized Italy, as you so eloquently outlined in your article. They've colonized Italy all throughout Europe, and you have Europe and Europe, U.S. Travel that went on beyond what we shut down with
China.
With China. So it's just so much here. So to tell me that we have to wait weeks more from where we are right now to see the infection rates peak, I just wonder where the hell we really are on the timeline, because we started keeping track so late.
Yeah. Yep. And it's starting to really piss people off, because we're done with this nonsense. Enough already. You know, how much more? Yesterday, I've done such great things, like talking about the governor of South Carolina. For some reason, yesterday, he decided to close down all non-essential businesses out of nowhere at 4:30 in the afternoon. You guys won't be opening tomorrow. Sorry. You're kidding me. And I have a funny ass story that I'm going to tell everybody right now. Two of them, actually, Rank.
Okay.
Personal story time.
Let's hear it.
So I had to take my little Lily, my little Maltese puppy. Not really a puppy. She's five. But I had to take her to the vet yesterday. Okay. So that was the first time that I'm taking her to the vet. I've never been to this vet before. So I drive into the parking lot. I had the first appointment in the morning. I get out with my little Lily under my arm and I go up to the door and it's locked. But there's someone sitting inside. And I like look in there and I'm knocking and she like waves me off. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I go and sit in the car with the dog getting ready to leave. And she comes running out and she brings me a clipboard. She's like, hi, who are you with? And I'm like, Lily. And she's like, okay, we're not letting anyone in. Stay in the car and wait. I'm like, okay. So I'm sitting in the car. She comes out with the clipboard. She gives it to me. I fill out the stuff. She goes back inside. She's dressed head to toe in protective gear, I might add as well.
Okay.
Then the nurse comes outside and takes the history of what's going on with Lily. Now, remember, I'm sitting in the passenger seat of my own car in their parking lot at this point. She's standing 4 feet away from my car. Like, it was just crazy. Dressed in protective gear. Then she takes the dog. She goes inside. They treat the dog. I'm outside. I'm taking medication that makes me use the ladies' room a little bit more than most people. And I had to use the ladies' room. They would not let me in. I had to drive to a Dunkin' Donuts to go to the bathroom. Okay. While my dog was being treated by the vet. Then they bring the dog out, give her back to me. Then the doctor comes out to the parking lot and tells me what's going on with the dog from 6 feet away from my window. I'm not exaggerating. Then another woman comes out, takes my payment, and then I was able to go. Literally all from my car. And I couldn't use the bathroom. Crazy.
You gotta keep a bedpan in the car from now on.
I mean, they wouldn't let me go to the bathroom like I was some infected, like.
They don't know.
God.
Maybe you were.
They're all protected.
They don't want to clean up your corona pee spackles all over the place.
My goodness. Then this was even better. This one's even better. So today, my husband's very middle of the road, okay? Not I don't mean politically, like he's you know, a Trump guy, but he doesn't talk about this stuff. This is not his life, okay? So he's a sports guy, he's a music guy, he's a movie guy. This is my husband. Normal guy. He likes to shop early in the morning because he doesn't like crowds. So he gets to Publix, the supermarket, and today is the—
You guys don't shop at Piggly Wiggly?
No Piggly Wiggly.
Okay, go ahead.
So we get to Publix and he's in the parking lot because it is the senior hour. where young people aren't allowed in the store. Only like 16 above are allowed in so that they get their time to shop without the rest of us heathens around them, you know, protecting them. Indeed. So I get a text message. I think I might just read them because they're so funny. I said, he said, morning, going to Dunkin' and then waiting for Publix to open for the younger generation at 8. And I laughed. He goes, this is torture. I've seen so many old people. And then I screamed, flour, because everybody is buying bread. And then since there's no bread, people started buying flour. But I need flour, Frank, to cook everyday meals, because that's one of the only things that I can use in this diet thing that I have to stick to. Mm. So now I am out my flour. I just need a bag of flour. Anyway.
This is something you used to be able to go to your neighbors about. Hey, anybody have any flour? You have any sugar?
I did. I asked my mom. She had some for me, but that's not the point.
Okay.
Okay. He's like, the looks they're giving me for just being in the parking lot at their time. He said, I'm not in the store. The windows are closed. I should just fake sneeze.
Yeah. Yeah.
He goes, I don't ever want to be an old person. Miserable Fs.
Yeah. Look at it. It's almost, you show up and you're like glowing green.
He goes, he gets close. Now it's 7:48 at this text. He goes, they're rushing like they're going to die if they're still here after 8 o'clock. It's hilarious. He said they were like running through the parking lot to get out of there before 8, as though like if 8 o'clock struck, every one of them would be done.
Yeah, because then the cavalry of infected people would be there. So yeah. they wanted to clear out before the zombies show up.
So I'm like hysterical at this point, like typing out, I'm hysterical. And he goes, these people are hilarious. And I'm like, you need to be filming this.
What? But they're doing this up here too. It's all things considered, it's actually pretty smart.
Especially, no. Yes. Okay. I get it.
No, I understand. I understand the whatchamacallit, the theatrics that start to become ingrained in this. Okay, we only have a small window of time. We have to go. I understand it, but you know, as far as everything else, you know, Lauren was telling me about it up here too, because she's been doing all the maintaining the refrigerator while we have all of our storable foods. We don't want to touch anything, so we're just,
you have to, right?
Yeah, yeah. So pretty much we've just been maintaining the refrigerator. And before we found the delivery services that were really, really good over here, she noticed that there was these times in the morning from like 7 to 9 or whatever it was for senior citizens, for pregnant women. They're also in that category too. They just make certain times for certain groups of people.
Yeah, and you can't go in those times if you're not those people.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But this is you could identify as a pregnant woman if you want. So
that's true. I don't mind that. I think that that's a good idea. I think the rule that they're like what the supermarkets are doing, like on their own, is a good idea. It's an hour. It's not inconveniencing anybody. It keeps them feeling safe. It may keep them safer. That's great. But it's the the reaction. Like there were some of them left over in the store after 8 o'clock that didn't get to finish. And he said that like he went to get, we got the flour. He went to get the flour and like people were like pressed up against the shelving units to stay away from him, wearing like cleaning gloves up to their elbows and masks. And he's like, you're wearing a mask and cleaning gloves, you know, that's supposed to protect you. What are you doing? Like, why are you doing this?
I know.
It's weird, Frank. I hope I don't get completely lambasted by people for thinking this is funny. But like, if you picture, like, I wasn't there, so I'm picturing this in my head.
It is kind of funny. Yeah, I mean, well, because, you know, like I said, there's a window of time open there and you take advantage of it. But as far as the, you know, the night of the living dead, you know, time is running out kind of hysteria about it, or looking over your shoulder and being suspicious of outsiders. That's just all part of the dolling up of the situation. So, yeah, there's two forces at play here.
I called my mom and I asked her if she was going to old people shopping hour. And I know that, you know, they're not old. 60 and above is not old and by any stretch, but I just wanted to dig her a little bit.
Just rub that in a little bit.
Yeah. Because if we can't laugh right now, what else on God's green earth do we have?
Absolutely. And in 20 years, your daughter is going to be making fun of you for doing old people stuff.
Yes.
And so you're just going to have to take it.
I know. It's just the way it works, right? So now, this is a point that I don't get. Maybe you can help me. And I'm very simple-minded when it comes to certain things. Like, so here's the thing. You go to the drive-thru, right? There's a worker in there you assume is safe and not sick, who has been literally handling every single person's debit card or cash that is driven through.
Yes.
Are they sanitizing their hands between each customer?
You can't even think about that. You can't, because they may not be.
But doesn't that moot the point?
Well, they could be also wearing gloves and changing them every 10 minutes. It's really all up to what are you wearing on your hands? What are you wearing gloves? And when you get home, what are you delousing? Like I haven't gotten into the habit of, you know, cleaning my cell phone at night, but I probably should.
Yeah, I don't
know
either.
Your cards and anything else. I mean, there's plenty of stuff that we don't think about that the average OCD person does. So and really just all about, if there's something you want to avoid and you want to take precaution in your life, you got to start thinking about things you never did before. And I would never, I don't think that the people who work at the drive-in businesses, when they are off time, when they're off their shift and they're going to drive-ins and themselves, they shouldn't trust the people on the inside either. So it's just one of those things. You got to think, you got to put yourself first. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
gosh, indeed.
You know, this would be a great time for some for an alien invasion,
wouldn't it? It would work out perfectly right now.
Yeah, we wouldn't even notice them.
We would. I know. Nobody would be out to see them.
They just show up in the middle of your driveway. And you're like, listen, I don't have time for this. Just please take whatever the hell you want. Take my dog. Take the cow in the back. Just I don't have time for this. I have to go to Publix.
Yeah. Can you do me a favor? Just wait until I get back to introduce yourself, please. I'm busy.
Yes.
You know?
Of all the times to reveal yourself to mankind, the aliens come now.
And they're looking around with their hands out to the sides. Like, what the hell is going on here?
Now's not the time, Klaatu.
Don't you know we're dealing with a pandemic on this planet right now?
I have the cure. Shut up!
Get out of my way. It's almost 8:02.
Yes. I'm running out of oatmeal.
Flour. God. So I came across a tweet just now from somebody named Brandon, Brash_1. Just talked to a buddy. He's an ICU nurse at one of our city hospitals, New York. He told me they're mandating nurses off due to low census. He says this has been the case for weeks. I don't know what the hell is going on here, but this ain't about a virus. Heard that.
Low census being what? What?
Low census meaning nobody at the hospital. Not enough patients to mandate the nurses.
I don't get it. I have friends working in similar hospitals and whatever in New York City who, I mean, I'm waiting for another update. They've been off for a couple of days, but they were swamped for a bit. My friend in Ohio, I told you just on Monday that they said that there was all of a sudden there was this unusual lull and there was nobody there. It was like an average or below average day. And then all of a sudden by later on that afternoon, it had exploded again. I don't get any of this stuff.
Listen, think about it like this too. Every like my husband said, he drove by and one of the hospitals here had like tents outside set up.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm saying, look, people are not getting elective surgeries. That's a big swath of people. Knee replacements, hip replacements, you know, things that you don't have to do today that could wait another, you know what I mean? Not emergencies like an appendectomy or, you know, a gallbladder infection, whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they're all not at the hospital, right? Then everybody's home. So like I've got to assume like accidents and things of that nature, work injuries, construction injury, all kinds of other stuff are not happening because nobody's out to hurt themselves, right? Then on top of that, if you don't have this ridiculous influx of patients due to this virus, you have nobody in your hospital other than heart attack, stroke, probably far fewer car crashes, etc. So you don't have patients. Pretty interesting. That was my belly. Did you hear that?
That was yours? I thought it was mine.
No, it was me. Ooh, goodness.
Sometimes you don't hear the belly grumbling. I mean, you don't feel it.
Yeah, you just hear it and then you're like,
ooh. You just hear it. I don't know. But then again, I just ate before I came on, so.
I used to have a problem and it went down to Helga where I would go in to take a test like the SAT or some kind of standardized test and my stomach would just start making noise. Doesn't matter if I ate or not. It would be like, rawr, rawr, like loud. And there was nothing I could do to stop it. I don't know if it was nerves or whatever, but it seems like whenever I was at a standardized test with like rows of other people at their desks with their Scantrons, I was having stomach issues like that.
Well, I guess everybody reacts differently to stupid methods of schooling.
Stress. Speaking of stupidity and Helga, not that Helga's stupid, we have something else to listen to today, Frank. This is the newly reelected mayor of Houston. I'm not sure if you are familiar with this clip.
Oh, I heard it. This is just so funny.
Here we go.
Until,
hold on.
Let me just make my plea. Until the coronavirus is resolved, criminals take a break. Okay? Stay home. Okay? Stay home.
You got it.
And don't commit any crimes.
Oh.
And that way, they'll stay safe and out of jail. And police officers will stay safe and can go home to their families. Okay? So everybody chill. Crooks, criminals, you chill. Wait till the coronavirus is over.
A good deal. Deal.
Okay. We'll have a 3-week moratorium on all crime. Now, listen, this is we were at the dinner table when I played this and Helga thought it was hysterical. She's like, oh, my gosh, like anyone would live here. Yeah.
I said, so we just listened to the clip about the criminals stopping for coronavirus. And Helga?
Everybody, once this coronavirus is over, y'all can go back to your lives. Y'all can go out there and do whatever you want, commit crimes, kill people, go rob banks. But when this is going on, stay home. Don't be killing people. Stay home. Don't be robbing banks. Don't do any of that. Stay home.
Like it's a game we all play. It's like, oh, you know, let's just, you robbers and you police, you know, you cowboys and Indians. Let's just all just take a chill pill and we'll go back to playing our game afterwards.
If only we knew that was a good way, an effective way to stop crime, Frank. If only we knew.
Yeah, chill. It's like the 5-second rule when you drop a piece of toast on the floor. It's like, no, there's a virus. There's a virus. No more crime for a couple of days.
Couple new things. Let me see. Couple new things. I have the Chris Saliza sweatshirt, the self-own of the century. He has it laid out on his plush leather couch. He says, I'm now a proud owner of this sweatshirt. And it says on it, America needs journalists.
Oh, God.
Like the biggest self-own ever. Yes, we do, Chris. Yes, we do. And if you find any, please let me know.
Can
if
you find some? Yeah. America needs journalists. Let's find some. We can find some together.
I know. And underneath all of this, it's hysterical. It's like some people have, you know, all their jokes about it under. Somebody like changed it to be America needs better journalists. So when is CNN going to start hiring them? America needs, hold on. There's so many funny ones. America needs journalists like fish need bicycles. So that was a funny thing, CNN, yesterday. Then we had something pretty serious come out yesterday. Perfect timing when everybody's not paying attention. The IG did a summary report of the Woods procedure audit that they were doing. Now, they're not done with this audit yet, but what they found, Frank, was so egregious and so horrible, they needed to stop to write a summary before they were done. So they looked into what is going on with FISA. Is the FBI, when they go for a surveillance warrant on a U.S. person, I wish we could just go back to talking about this stuff, don't you?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's also getting a little, that's getting a little tiring too. Like every John Solomon article I see now, where we get a little bit more information on how thorough the FISA process has been ignored, or things have been omitted, and how far back this kind of practice goes. I just kind of, okay, and I sip my coffee, and I don't even care anymore.
Yeah, me too.
I seriously don't even care
it's
anymore.
It's not that I don't care anymore. Of course I care, and I think it's important, but it's like, okay, we know.
We get it.
What are we going to do about it now?
Yeah, we get it.
Training, Frank. Lots of training. So I read this 18-page summary report that came out. Absolutely unacceptable. Literally, they randomly chose something like 26 FISA applications that are already complete, like have already been used and done and finished and over with, randomly. Literally none, not one of them, not one followed the rules, some of them with glaring errors, like the most egregious, horrible errors you could ever see in your, like, four of the applications they randomly chose had no Woods file at all, or they couldn't find one.
Yeah, but Tracy, all we need to do is pass a law that requires people to follow the law, and this will all go away.
Oh my
gosh. We just need to reform the FISA system, Tracy, and everything will be fine.
We need to pass a law that reinforces the existing law, is what you're saying.
Exactly. We need an enforcement law that will make people follow the laws that have been passed in the past.
That's actually probably one of the best solutions I've heard.
It's probably the reason why we've had so much crime in this country for decades and generations and generations. We've been passing laws, but we've never passed laws to enforce them.
I can't believe I didn't think of this myself.
We are stupid. That's why.
I can't believe it. We should have been passing laws to force people to follow the laws we've already passed this entire time.
And all we need to do is reform.
And then ask them to do it, like the governor of Houston.
That's it.
And that'll solve everything. Do we have a breakthrough today on this podcast?
Yes. No, we just solved America.
Oh, my God. This is amazing.
Yeah.
I feel this overwhelming sense of joy and freedom.
Stability has been restored.
Where's the music with the patriotic music?
That's it.
Ah!
Yeah, no, this is why, you know, I a year and a half ago, I'd be like, oh my God, another piece to the puzzle. This goes deep. Now I'm just like, whatever. unless I wake up in the morning and I see 58,000 people have been arrested and some of them executed on the spot, I don't care. It's just like, it's just so bad I don't care. Wake me up when that happens.
That's what a lot of people are saying now.
And maybe that's the point. Maybe that's the point. And if that's the point, then we never, ever had a chance. If people are starting to just throw their hands up and whatever, that's I would have to imagine the next step could be that we just get our wish and nothing happens.
That's not my wish. I don't have that wish.
No, I guess we just get our greatest fears confirmed, I should say.
Yeah.
Right now, I think that we can have one or two things happen. And that is, number one, we get our wish, and that is all of a sudden, boom, it's a firework finale. And then we can also have our greatest fears confirmed, and nothing, you know, we fast forward 3 years and we're still just like, yeah, that was fun. You remember when we figured out everything that was wrong with government and we actually saw the evidence for it and then nothing happened? Yeah. You remember that? That was great when we all put together Spygate and everything from JFK onward. You remember that? Those 3 summers that we figured everything out and still nothing happened? Oh, God.
That's me bashing my head against the microphone. Inspector General audit finds widespread problems with FBI's FISA applications. IG interrupts ongoing audit to inform the FBI it does not have confidence in the agency's compliance with Woods procedures. And what is the DOJ come out and say? Hold on. This is, hold on, the DOJ spokesperson, which I had handy and I don't have right now in front of me for some reason. It's not here. I can't find it. It's gone. She basically put out a statement from Ray.
We understand and agree with the recommendations that the Horowitz DOJ IG has made. We agree that we should firm up procedure and make sure that we get things under control. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree that you're all losers. That's what I agree on. Now, another interesting thing before we go too crazy. Here's something interesting, Frank. Boston Medical Center. Boston Medical Center. Due to losses, which we just talked about, from coronavirus losses, Boston Medical Center is furloughing 700 employees, roughly 10% of their workforce. The employees were told in an email that the cutbacks are due to a sudden and significant decrease in revenue because nobody's at the hospital.
Decrease in revenue?
Nobody is at the hospital. Everybody is home. Nobody's going about their lives and getting hurt and going to the hospital. People are afraid to go to the hospital. The only people in the hospital right now are people who have had horrible life-threatening incidents like heart attacks or strokes and COVID-19 patients, of which there aren't enough to fill the hospital. Sorry. So now the medical system is this needs to stop. It's just crazy.
Damn, ma'am. I didn't even consider that. That so few people are putting themselves in an everyday position to get the bumps and bruises and
arms, trampoline injuries, gymnastics injuries, sports injuries, you know, the things that people do every day that are more deadly than the coronavirus are.
Yep.
You know, the risk you take when you go out driving around in your car, there's a car accident. That's probably not happening halfway as much either. Nobody's out going anywhere. You know, non-essential travel.
Didn't even think of that.
There's a lot of stuff you don't think of when the government mandates your entire country shut down.
Yeah.
I mean, I know people get mad at me for saying it that way, but it's freaking true. And the April Fool's Day tweets that I'm seeing are pretty funny.
April Fools.
April Foe. Chris Cuomo has coronavirus.
I heard about this, and I heard that he tried to get. I heard him trying to get Andrew to commit to to commit to running for president, and he just wouldn't do it.
Yeah, you want to hear that clip? It's pretty funny.
Sure.
I don't know if I believe that Cuomo has coronavirus, but I just didn't say that out loud.
Like, why the hell? At this point, what does it matter?
It doesn't matter, but he's here in his basement being a martyr, you know? Everybody be nice to Chris Cuomo. Here we go.
Ask you something. With all of this adulation that you're getting for doing your job, are you thinking about running for president? Tell the audience.
No. No.
No, you won't answer?
No, I answered. The answer is no.
No, you're not thinking about
it? Sometimes it's one word. I said no.
Have you thought about it?
No.
Are you open to thinking about it?
No.
Might you think about it at some point?
No.
How can you know what you might think about at some point right now?
Because I know what I might think about and what I won't think about. But you're a great interviewer, by the way.
Appreciate it. Learn from the best.
There you go.
This reminded me of my little son, because when I have to find the clip and I'll share it because it's too cute not to. When he was little, one of the first words he learned was yeah. And he was maybe 6 months old, maybe 5, 6 months old. And you'd ask him any question. It didn't matter what it was. And the answer was yeah. And he would say it over and over again. So you'd be like, Hey, William, are you having fun?
Yeah.
Do you want to go to the casino?
Yeah.
So we had a lot of fun. Asking him random questions that he shouldn't know the answer to and having him say yes to them. Like, this reminded me of that. So infantile and cute.
I'm glad that he just got the stone wall. He thought, I'm going to have some breaking news here. Bill Maher is going to be really happy. And then nope. No, it looks like you're stuck with Joe Biden, my friends.
Who has really been doing a great job, I gotta say.
Yeah, he's really the poor guy is just Peter. Can you imagine if he actually had a schedule to keep right now? Seriously, think about how horrible a time he is having every time he gets in front of a television. Now, the Twitter is written by a staffer, no doubt about it. Twitter is written by a staffer. They keep it pretty generalized. Even then, it doesn't work out because they're usually just talking about things the president should do that he's already done. And they're just capitalizing and hoping that people who are reading it and retweeting it and liking it
are attributing it to him.
Yeah, are attributing to him, A. B, not paying attention to know that it's all bullshit and it's already been done. Or C, you know, taking advantage of the least strong-willed of the people who have been paying attention and hope that they can rewrite their interpretation of reality somehow. But that's not him writing the tweets. Aside from that, he's making these appearances on television and elsewhere that keep getting worse and worse and more pitiful by the appearance. And I just started telling myself, can you imagine if there were no pandemic right now and this guy needed to be on the road? I mean, he is getting considerably worse, and he doesn't even have to maintain a rigorous election a campaign schedule right now, which I believe is all part of the plan. I really do believe is all part of the plan. I have my theories about why this virus is actually here at the time that it is. I'm looking at this here and I'm going, oh my God, can you imagine this guy actually had to hold up a schedule right now, get on a plane, get on buses, go before crowds. He would have already, I don't know, he's like his iPhone battery is on 1% right now. And it's March. Well, what the hell is he going to do?
See, this is what I could foresee happening, right? Everything opens back up again. I can't believe it's only April 1st. I don't believe that we can continue this for another 30 days. No way in hell.
April 1st, my bad.
That's okay. It's hard to keep track nowadays.
It was just March yesterday.
It was. And I don't see how we can continue this. But can you imagine another 30 freaking days of this bullshit?
Yeah, but even if we do another 30 days, that brings us to May 1st. You know, this is what I'm saying. This is why if people don't see the plan here when Democrats are using the cover of these big stimulus bills to not save ailing Americans, but to try to jumpstart the Green New Deal and try to completely change the way that we vote in November, 7-6 months away. Come on now. Come on. Even if this went on for another month, that still leaves May to June, June to July, July to August, September, October, November. Come on now.
What do you think when everything opened back? Let's say it's May 1st. Do you think President Trump is going to have a rally on May 15th that's full? And do you think if it's not full, the media will attack his support instead of saying people are still a little bit scared?
No. First of all, I think that they're going to my gut feeling is that the people are going to come back so willing to make noise. So excited to make noise that the rally is going to go nuts again.
You think so?
Yeah. And if people don't come out there, the media would be so stupid to try to say this is because he's lost support. I mean, if he was losing support, they would be airing all of his daily coronavirus reports in full. So they've been trying to find a way to pull the plug on that because he's doing well. These left-leaning pollsters and news outlets have had no choice but to show bumps in the polls and approval ratings. Alyssa Milano's melting down. She doesn't understand why anybody's liking this. So for us to come back from a national health crisis and have maybe a little bit less people at a political rally to say that's because the president lost support at this point is ridiculous. It's because people might still have the jitters about a virus. Okay, there's a reason why you don't want to syndicate his addresses, his daily addresses anymore. It's because it's not hurting him.
I agree with you. It isn't. I mean, you know, I
just can't wait to see people out and living their lives again, just because it's going to have greater implications of, oh man, we're getting back to normalcy. But as far as rallies and these packed stadiums, I honestly would not think, I wouldn't give it two thoughts if, you know, if the numbers, at least at first, aren't where they were at the rallies, just because people have the jitters.
Yeah. We're going to do the last few minutes on Drudge, okay? And we're going to read the propaganda.
Okay.
Captain of aircraft carrier with growing outbreak pleads for help. U.S. emergency medical stockpile nearly out of protective gear. Pence task force freezes coronavirus aid amid backlash. Bill Gates outlines three steps the government needs to take. What if this lockdown is only the beginning? Researchers identify strongest symptoms, loss of taste and smell. Diabetes, lung and heart disease, common in patients. Virus could travel 27 feet and stay in air for hours. New strain lasts for 49 days. Newark lockdown bans travel to neighboring towns. Alabama, Massachusetts giving addresses of infected to police. Walmart to take employees' temperature before shift. Amazon struggles to find footing. TSA screenings drop to 10-year low. CNN's Cuomo discusses his infection. And the sick map. And then in red, Frank, in red. Pay slashed for ER docs, nurses fighting virus. Feds project up to 240,000 dead. Prisoners dig mass graves.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I hate my Matt Drudge. Yeah, everybody says, you know, well, listen, you know, the big dollar men came calling and he chose money and he just, you know, he made a business decision. His website has become such a disservice for now over a year. I go there only to see if there's some interesting, you know, exorcism. They usually have some nice a nice flurry of odd news, exorcism, the paranormal stuff. So the every once in a while a UFO headline that but every it's just so pitiful.
Mm. By the way,
because it could be. And the reason why is not because he's telling us things we don't want to hear. It's because there's so many different ways you can choose to cover a relevant story.
Yeah. And pay slashed for ER docs and nurses fighting virus. That story is about how the census at the hospitals is so low, they can't afford to continue paying what they were paying before because they're not making the money, i.e. the headline really could read. As cases of coronavirus don't meet former expectations, hospitals are seeing empty beds. That could be the same. It could be done that way, too. Can't right? Fit. Right?
Sure.
Here. Hold on. Whistleblowing Wuhan doctor Ai Fen is currently incommunicado, believed to be detained after giving media interviews about her initial concerns over coronavirus. She's now disappeared. Her whereabouts unknown. Want to know why? Because China is an upstanding country that the legacy media respects and loves. And God forbid you don't. And there was a big earthquake in Idaho yesterday.
I heard that it's like it took place right over a major magma chamber.
Oh, did it?
With near or on top of Yellowstone Park.
Oh, really? I thought it was in right outside of Boise. Is that where Yellowstone is?
I think that it's up there. I think Yellowstone crosses state lines up around there. I don't know. I had somebody get in touch with me. Told, what was it? Magnitude 5.6 or something?
Eight.
Five point eight. Oh, I was going to say eight.
Yellowstone is about 388 miles east of Boise.
Okay, so it's not there?
No.
Okay.
You know what happens though, Frank. Come on.
Because that would just be the coup de grace.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We have the virus and a super volcano erupts. Just like, wow, all on the election. Election canceled.
I gotta be honest. When January 1st rolled around, I knew immediately that it was going to be a crazy year because I had so many things happen in the span of 3 weeks personally, that I was toast mentally and spiritually toast. And I'm like, oh my goodness, if this is the beginning of the year, I don't even want to know. Hopefully we get it all out of the way in the beginning, I said. Hopefully.
Oh, yeah. Well, hey, I mean, it really started on New Year's Eve. I mean, that's when we started hearing about the embassy in Iraq.
Yes. Yes, it did. You're right. And it was coming out like right before 12 o'clock and everybody was on Twitter. Yep.
Yeah, the embassy in Iraq. We had that New Year's Eve. Then, of course, at that point, too, the virus is already brewing on the other side of the planet. It was already here. We didn't know about it. So think about that 23-layer shit cake we've been eating. You had the virus has already started. We can get into the timeline of that. I think that has been this has been timed so perfectly. And then you had the Iran thing that, of course, we already had impeachment going into the Christmas break and coming into the new year. The articles of impeachment had been passed and we were waiting for that to come around. January was all impeachment. Then we had February was when that bullshit got put to rest. And then we had 2 weeks of that intel briefing about China or about Russia wanting to interfere with 2020 again. That hit the wall and did nothing after 2 weeks. And then from there on in, here we are.
10 minutes ago, Frank. We'll close with this. 10 minutes ago, the CIA posted this. CIA never shies away from a challenge, even when they seem otherworldly. Stay home and learn about the CIA's investigations into UFOs.
That's today?
They just posted it.
Please DM that to me. How ridiculous. Oh my God.
Frank, they're going to do the alien invasion.
talk about synchronicity.
Jeez, you have been listening to the Wednesday edition of the Dark Delight podcast with
Hump Day Val and
Beans. Someone sent me a funny GIF on Telegram that I need to shut because it's making me giggle.
GIFs are great.
You can hear us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 Eastern Time on TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and on RadioInfluence.com. We will see you on Friday.
Later.
Radio Influence strives to bring you excellence in podcasting. We work with personalities like TV chef Brian Duffy, radio personalities like Ian Beckles, news and political pundits like independent journalists Frank and Tracy Beans, experts from the sports world like veteran football scout and coach Chris Landry, pro wrestling personality David Penzer, MMA experts Jason Floyd and Daniel Galvan, and strength and conditioning coach Jeff Crochelle. If you're looking for food, sports, music, entertainment, politics, no matter the topic, Radio Influence has something for everyone. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Podcasts, and RadioInfluence.com.